Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, you can have a seat, get your Bibles out, and go with me to Jeremiah chapter number 12. We're going to take a look at one verse in Jeremiah, the 12th chapter. Tonight, I want to talk to you about going to the next level. Anybody want to go to the next level? You know, I think it's built on the inside of us and our competitive nature that we always want to go up to the next level. There's something just about being good at something and hitting those mile markers, hitting those milestones and going up levels. You know, in our current culture and society, there are a lot of people doing the gamers thing, right? And you know, there's different levels of sports, different things like that. And all of us have that drive on the inside of us. I believe it's God-given, as a matter of fact, because God wanted us to be like him. He wanted us to be creative. He wanted us to be builders. He wanted us to accomplish great and mighty things on the earth. You can see that all throughout the Word of God. And without that drive, without that passion of going up, I don't believe that we would ever push ourselves to reach the heights that God has for us. And as with anything, in the Bible, in the Word, we find that God wants us to start somewhere, but there is a journey that he's taking us on. That we are growing in grace, that we're growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we can grow in our experience. That we can grow in our faith. And that there are levels that we can go to. There's a starting level, there is a starting point that we all start at, right? And that's that kind of baby level. We're being fed spiritual milk and we have to learn the first principles. But then after a while, we get a hold of that and then all of a sudden something's expected of us, that we are to grow, that we are to come up, and that we are to attain to new levels with God. Not to just plateau and stay the same, but God wants us to keep climbing. And so tonight I want to talk to you about going to the next level, because there will be times in each and every one of our lives as Christians that we find ourselves in almost like a holding pattern. You know, there will be a test that comes at us, something that you know, God puts into our life to show us as well as to reveal to him where our hearts are at. Now, God knows all things, right? God knows the heart of man. And yet, God still tests us to prove what he sees on the inside of us, I believe. And as well to show us, to show all of the principalities and powers around us, to show the world to be a witness and a testimony, to show those who are lost and dying and hurting and broken. I believe that God tests us to prove those things that are on the inside of us. I think of Abraham, right? Abraham was tested when it came to his son Isaac, the son of promise. Abraham, will you give me the son of promise? Will you lay down your promise on the altar as a sacrifice? And Abraham did, and he passed the test. Now, thankfully, he didn't have to go through with what God was telling him that he needed to do, because God didn't ask him to do that. God takes no pleasure in human sacrifice. But he gave his own life on the cross and did what he had asked Abraham to do, but then Jesus stepped in and took his place. And so for all of us, there's going to be things in our lives that before we can get to the place that God wants us, before we can level up, I believe that there are testing times that God puts us through. Prophet Jeremiah was a young man when he was called. In fact, he had his reservations about going to be a prophet and to prophesy. And the Lord had to talk to him about saying that he was young. He said, don't say I'm young. Don't say I'm a youth. Don't be afraid of the people's faces. When you stand before them to prophesy, you have something to say, because I've put my word in your mouth. And so here Jeremiah is in chapter number 12, and Jeremiah has been prophesying. Now, Jeremiah at the time was prophesying to his hometown of Anathoth. And the people started to get mad at Jeremiah. They didn't like what he was saying. And so they pushed him away. They started to put him down. In fact, members of his own household started to persecute him. His own brethren started to say, Jeremiah, why don't you shut up, man? Why don't you stop that talk? Don't prophesy in the name of the Lord. Don't tell us that. It's not going to happen, Jeremiah. Just shut up. Stop it. And they started to say, we're going to take you out, Jeremiah. We're going to do something bad. You're not going to like what happens if you keep it up, Jeremiah. So Jeremiah starts to wonder what's going on in his life. He starts to kind of complain to God, and he goes to God in the first part of Jeremiah chapter 12, and he asks the question that I believe a lot of people ask when they're in the midst of a test. And what he asks is, God, why do the wicked prosper? How come these guys aren't serving you, and yet they continue to look like they're succeeding? Now, other men and women of God had asked this question in the Bible. You find Job, right? Here Job has his question. He has his complaint before God. God, what's up with this? What's going on in my life? And God gave him a full and lengthy explanation at the end of the book of Job. Job, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth, right? And Job says, whoa, I had only heard with my ears, but now I have seen with my eyes. God, I'm good, right? No more questions. We're all good here, God. And he stopped the questions. There are other men and women throughout the Bible that you will find that ask these questions. And it's okay. God is not afraid of our questions. God will even give you a response. But unlike Job, Jeremiah got a short response. And we see it in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 5. Look at what it says. It says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? So God turns the question around and he asks Jeremiah a question. Hey, Jeremiah, why do the wicked prosper? Right? He could have given him the explanation that the psalmist had, Asaph, right? In Psalm 73, when he says, I looked around, I saw the wicked prospering and I didn't understand and I poured out my complaint before God. And then he says, then I went to the house of God. Then I saw their end, right? That it will be ruined, but the righteous flourish. He could have had that explanation. God could have gave him that same answer. And yet God didn't give that answer to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah, he was saying, this is a test, man. If you've run with the footmen, what are the footmen? The guys that just run alongside, right? They're not the horsemen, they're the footmen. They're on foot. Okay, that makes sense to everybody? They've got their sword, they've got their shield, they've got their spear in their back, and they've got all their armor on, and they're just running. And so he says, if you've run with the footmen and you're tired out afterwards, what's going to happen when it comes time to go up against a horse? If you are playing the lower level ball and you're tired, what makes you think that you can go up to the major leagues? And then he says, and if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you. Now, I get the picture that if you're talking about a race, right? If you've ever run on a flat plain, if you've ever run, you know, around a track that was all leveled off, it's all smooth, right? And you're just running. Remember one time I decided I was going to go for a mile run, and so I was in San Diego at the time, and I just ran down by the bay. And it was perfectly level, perfectly flat. It was probably one of the easiest runs that I had run. But then, you know, I live in an area where there's a lot of hills and that sort of thing. And so if I try and run on those hills, I'm going to be wore out. Why? Because it's uneven. It's a totally different thing. So he says, if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? Now, he uses the word floodplain. Really, this could also be talking about, the thicket of the Jordan. Maybe some of your translations that you have say the thicket of the Jordan. Around the Jordan River, during the certain seasons, it would flood its banks. It was abundant with water. And the landscape literally would change. The river would overflow its banks. And because of the abundance of water, there would be thick rushes and there'd be all sorts of woods and different things like that. In fact, if you read on in Jeremiah into the later chapters, in chapter 38, I believe, it talks about how lions actually dwelt in these thickets. So you can imagine in a flood time, those lions would come out of the thicket and they would be in places that they're not supposed to be, right? Much like some of you guys that live up in the Forest Falls area, when a bear shows up in your backyard, he's not supposed to be there. What do? You kind of freak out, don't you? And we've seen that on the news. Anytime there's an animal that's somewhere that it's not supposed to be, it makes major news in our area. Why? Because it's just, that's not, why is there a mountain lion in the middle of someone's street, you know? In Florida, it's pythons and alligators. That's why I live in California. Amen, anybody? That's what I'm talking about. I will endure mudslides and fires all day long. Earthquakes, bring it on. I will sleep through the best of them. Don't give me no snakes and alligators and tornadoes and hurricanes and all that other stuff. But he says, if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? In other words, he's telling Jeremiah, you're prophesying to your hometown, to your brothers and sisters, your family members, and they're wearing you out. What's going to happen when I send you to Jerusalem, to the king? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, God says, not only to Jerusalem, to your own country, but I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, there's a much bigger plan, and you're going to have to level up in order to get there. But Jeremiah, I need you to learn the lessons on this lower level right here. I need you to endure the trials and the tests that are going on at this level so that you can level up. Tonight, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. God has a plan for your life. God wants to take you and use you to be a witness and a testimony to your generation. God wants to use you in the workplace. God wants to use you in your community. God wants to use you to be a world changer. Some of you never thought that you could do anything of significance on this earth while you were here on the planet, but if you are linked up with God, God has greater plans for your life than you could ever dream, think, or even imagine. And it's vitally important for you to get a hold of the principles of what we're going to talk about tonight, how to be tested right and how to level up so that you can get to the point that God needs you to be. Because like it or not, we're all going there. Because God needs his word to get out. He needs to get the gospel into the nations. He needs to get salvation into our communities, into our families. God wants to get the good news that Jesus Christ is alive and he's seated at the right hand of God. He is not dead. He went to the cross, but he didn't stay on the cross. Healing and salvation and deliverance and prosperity and blessing is available to all who will believe on his name. God wants to get that message out to the nations, but guess what? He doesn't do it by coming on a big television screen in the sky. He didn't send an angel. He sent the church. That's you and that's me, and we all need to come up and to level up together. You know, I think we're doing our children a disservice in our day and age when we're giving them participation trophies for just showing up. That's good. That's all right, but you know what? You know, they got the jersey. They got the photo saying that they showed up, right? Here's your participation award. Here's a picture of you and your team. But if you're going to go where you need to go and level up and do something great, that takes skill. That takes endurance. That takes some training. And that takes passing some tests. So since we know we're being tested, just like Jeremiah, since we know that right now we might be running with the footmen. You might be in the middle of a peaceful land in which you thought, man, everything's great. Everything's cool right now. God is blessing me, right? But know that this is only a test. And that you're going to level up and there are some challenges ahead, some things that you're going to face that you need to level up because you need to be strong enough when you get there. Since we know we're being tested, a couple of quick things. Number one is this, is don't quit. Don't quit. Remember, Jeremiah was weary. Jeremiah was wore out. He had run with the footmen and he was wearied. He had been in the land of peace, and yet because of the persecution that happened to him there, he was weary. But guess what else? He was hurt. It's not easy to have people hate on you. Anybody can say amen to that? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? And it's especially not easy when there are people who should be loving you. You know, when it's your own family members, that hurts the most. Because it's like, you're supposed to be on my side. You're supposed to have my back. And yet, even Jesus' family said, the boy's crazy, let's go get him. He needs to stop this, right? And yet Jesus said, who's my mom? Who's my brothers? Who's my sisters? Those who do the will of God. These are my mother and brother and my sisters. See, Jesus had to not look back. He had to not think about what was going on around him in order to endure the test that came against him. He had to keep a focus on the word of God. He had to keep a focus on his purpose. And it's the same way with us. If we look around us, if we look at the things that hurt us and that weary us, we'll give up. We'll quit. You know, I'm raising three children. I've got two boys. Man, I am being tough on my boys. There are times where my wife says, that's too much. And I say, okay. Other times do I say, honey, I am a man and I know what men need. Not being too hard on the boys. They need to learn this lesson. They need to learn that when it gets tough, that they shouldn't give up and cry and sit down and bellyache and bawl and squall. They need to man up. They need to endure. Let me handle this. This is man training 101, and I know you want to protect the man child, but we're not doing that right now, honey, because he's going to level up. And so he needs to get strong so that when he encounters a real problem, he will be able to endure. That was some free parenting advice, by the way. But Jeremiah had to learn to endure the persecution from his family, from his neighborhood, before he endured the persecution from the leaders of Jerusalem. See, before he fulfilled his calling as a prophet to the nations, he had to fulfill his calling as a prophet to his hometown. And for each and every one of us, I believe that God has a great, grand, awesome, mighty calling. But in every single one of our lives, we have to learn to pass the test where we're at. Some of you guys have dreams of being a business owner, an entrepreneur. You've got something on the inside of you. Maybe it's an invention. Maybe it's a business idea. Maybe you've just got the drive that I can do this. Why am I working for the man? I want to be the man, right? Some of you guys have that on the inside of you. But if you can never serve your boss well in the arena that you're in right now, what makes you think that you're going to be a good boss when you get to that point? Is that an amen or an oh me? A little bit of both? All right. But see, there are things that we dream and that we desire and that God has for us. Maybe you've got vision of being something. You know, I've had so many people come to this church and they say, Pastor, I want to preach. I say, great. Where are you involved? Nowhere. And you think I'm going to let you go from nothing to the pulpit? If you can't be faithful and pass the little challenges, man, if you can go preach to the junior hires, you can preach to anybody. Because they will stare directly into your soul. It's the craziest thing. And yet, if you can preach to those junior hires and get through your notes without crying and running, you're going to make it. You're going to make it somewhere. You're going to do it. But see, you gotta run the paces. You don't get to just stand up in front of the children's ministry and start preaching to the kids. You gotta start out by handing out rock dollars in the back, right? You brought your Bible, here's two, right? Oh, you brought a pen and a notebook, here's two more. See, but you don't get to just go straight to the pulpit. Same thing with Rock of the Streets. You don't get to give the altar call first day, right? Hey, everybody, Apostle so-and-so has arrived. Everybody back up. Have you seen Brian's muscles? Man, that guy's got some guns. He will knock you down and tell you to go sit down and listen while you watch someone else who's been doing it for a while do it, right? We all have to run the paces. See, I never could have been the senior pastor of this church without first being the executive pastor of this church. But I couldn't have been the executive pastor of the church if I wouldn't have first been the young adults pastor at this church. And I never could have been the young adults pastor at this church if I hadn't first been serving in the ministry at this church. And I never could have served in the ministry at this church if I didn't have a heart for the Lord and just say yes to whatever God had called me to do. See, God had a path for my life, but if you back it all the way up, you will find me cleaning toilets. You will find me putting paint on walls. You will find me organizing closets. You will find me serving and doing whatever God had put in front of me. You'll find me playing guitar to the youth group in the year 2000 and 2001. If you back up down the road, you will find me doing most of the jobs around this church before I ever had the title pastor. Why? Because we've got to pass the test at the lower levels in order to get to the higher levels. Is anybody listening? See, if you know that it's a test, it will help you to endure. Isn't it easier when you know it's just a test? I mean, think about that. If you know the stakes are test, I could do it, right? Even if you fail, it was a test. Guess what? God lets you take it again. Children of Israel had a testing time, right? They came to the edge, they were unbelievers, and they had to go and wander. But guess what? They weren't utterly forsaken. 40 years later, they came back and they passed the test. But unbelief had to get out of them, right? Don't be discouraged if you hit something and you fail. Get back up, say, God, apparently I need to learn how to believe you in this area of my life and start to learn the lessons and start to build faith so that you can endure and so that you can pass the tests. James chapter 1, verse number 2 through 4 in the Message says this, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Don't quit. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Florence Chadwick, a very famous swimmer, many of you guys know who she is, swam across the English Channel as well from California coast to Catalina, beating the men's time by 2 hours when she finally made it across. But as a youth, she wanted desperately to be a great speed swimmer. At the age of 6, she persuaded her parents to enter her in a 50-yard race. She came in last, so she practiced every day for the new year. Again, she entered and lost. When she was an 11-year-old, Florence won attention and praise for completing the San Diego Bay Endurance Swim, 6 miles in all. But she still wanted to be a speed swimmer. At 14, she tried for the National Backstroke Championship, but came in second to the great Eleanor Holm. At age 18, she tried out for Olympic speed swimming and came in fourth. Only 3 made the team. Frustrated, she gave up, married, and moved on to other interests. But as she matured, however, Florence began to wonder if she might not have done better if she had specialized in endurance swimming, something that came more naturally. So, with the help of her father, she began to swim distances again. 12 years after she had failed to make the Olympic team, Florence Chadwick swam the English Channel, breaking Gertrude Darrell's 24-year-old record. It took a little time, but eventually she found out what she could do best, and she did it. In the same way, don't get discouraged if you're in a holding pattern for a little while. Don't get discouraged if you're hitting the same wall over and over again. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit with God if you find that you're being tested and you're going, God, what on earth am I supposed to be doing right now? I don't understand. I don't get it. God, I'm waiting to hear your voice. You know that the teacher is often silent during the test, right? God, why am I not hearing your voice? And God says, shh, it's a test. Don't get discouraged and don't quit. Don't give up, because God is not in a hurry. He knows what you need. He knows the strength that you need. He knows the road that you're on. He knows how long it's going to take. There is a place called there that when you reach it, God will speak to you. There is a time, there is a level that you're going up to, but it's going to take you staying in the race, staying in there for the long haul, passing the test. Don't quit. Second thing is this, because we know it's a test, expect greater capacity. You should expect from God that, God, if I'm being tested and I'm going up to the next level, then God, with that, I'm going to get a greater capacity. Because if it's going to take so much to pass this test, that means, God, you're doing something in me that when I hit the next trial, if it was just the footmen, God, there's going to be horses to race. And God, in the natural, I can run against the footmen, but in the natural, I cannot run against a horse. In the same way, if I can stay in the race, level up and pass the test, then God, there is a greater capacity that I need to be able to run with a horse. Is that right? In the same way, in the land of peace, if you were wearied out, he says that that's not good, because what are you going to do when the Jordan floods? See, running on dry ground, we can all do that, right? But how about on a floodplain? How about in a thicket rushing with water? It's going to take something supernatural, and that means greater capacity. See, if we know greater trials and challenges are ahead, then we need also to expect the capacity to handle them. Greater scope means greater complexity. Greater complexity requires greater capacity. We can go to the Lord and say, God, if I'm going up to a new level, if there's something greater ahead of me, then God, I need a greater capacity. Lord, will you give it to me? God, will you expand my heart? God, will you give me greater abilities? God, I need more grace. And you said that your grace would abound towards me so that I can have all sufficiency in all things and be abundantly supplied for every good work. God, I know there's a work that you have for me to do. So therefore, God, I need more grace, right? Just pile it on me, Lord. Just give it to me, God. I need the greater capacity. Is anybody listening tonight? In the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter number 25, you want to turn there with me to verse number 21. There is a man in the story that Jesus is telling that gives these guys what's called a talent. It is a sum of money. As he gives it to them, he leaves for a period of time. There is a testing time with their abilities. Some of the men go out and they trade, they buy and sell, they make more money. Another guy doesn't do anything with it. He makes no more money. He buries it in the ground and then he gives it back to the master and gets rebuked. Okay? But the guys that came and they brought the master more money, I want you to look at what the master says in Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 21. Look at what it says. His Lord said to him, okay, so this is the master that had given the money to the servant. that had left for a while and came back and received greater back, all right? Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, many times I find that people want to be over many things. They want the responsibility. Give it to me, right? I can handle it. Put me in coach. And yet, God is saying, if you're not faithful in the least, if you're not faithful in the little, how can I trust you with much? See, we got to pass the trials at this level so that we can get to the greater capacity, right? So while you're expecting greater capacity, that doesn't mean that you're neglecting current responsibility. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Because God wants us to grow. But in order to grow, God's looking for our faithfulness at this level. If you can handle this, then I'll give you greater capacity, right? When I can see that you can be trusted with this little thing right here, then I'll know that you can be trusted with this big thing over here. See, it was King David on the hills of Judea with his father's sheep that showed God that he could handle the lost sheep of Israel. It was the faithfulness. Even after he was anointed king, he went back to watching the sheep. So then God says, I can trust you with my flock, the nation of Israel. And that's why I believe he was the greatest king that Israel ever knew. It's because he had a greater capacity on the inside of him. And he passed the test at the lower levels so that he could go up to greater levels. Now, did David mess up in life? Oh, you better believe it. It's recorded in the scriptures. We all know that he was a murderer and an adulterer, right? And yet God still called him a man after my own heart because he repented of that, because he never made the same mistake twice, and because he continued to press in and follow after God and be faithful to continually show up with what God had for him. When Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple's computers, wanted to recruit 38-year-old John Sculley, president of Pepsi Cola, Jobs issued a tremendous challenge to Sculley. He asked, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? And tonight I want to ask you this. Do you want to stay at the level and at the capacity that you're at right now? Anybody want to just plateau and just stay where they're at? Anybody want to be stagnant and never increase at all? See, I started by asking you, who wants to level up? Who wants to go to a new level with God? And the reason why I ask that is because on the inside of us, there's a drive. Especially as Christians, it's God-given. God wants us to grow. And so in the same way, are we going to be content with sugared water? Are we going to be content with something that we're at the level that we're at? Or do we want the greater capacity? See, it's time, I believe, for us to go after greater things. It's time for some of you guys to start putting your hand to something. You've been sitting around long enough. You've been dreaming long enough. It's time to stop daydreaming. It's time to start getting in business with God and doing what God has called you to do. Some of you guys are church builders. Some of you guys are kingdom builders. Some of you guys have capacities on the inside of you that's greater, and yet God is saying, start somewhere. Be faithful in the little. That which I put in your hand right now, get going with that. The family that you've been given, get going with that. The ministry that you've been given, get going with that. The job that you've been given, get going with that. Start to be faithful in what's in your hand and what's in front of you, in that which is little. You know, the Bible says don't despise the day of small beginnings. When you look at something, don't despise it just because it's little. This church started with 12 people and one box of Kleenex. There's a whole lot more than 12 here tonight. There's a whole lot more than 12 on our rolls. Now, it took 30 years. And a whole lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But guess what? We didn't quit, and we expected God for greater capacity, and this is what he grew us to. In the same way, I believe that God wants to do such amazing things in your life that if you knew the full scope of them, it would just blow your mind. And yet God is saying, will you be faithful in what's in front of you? Will you get started and expect me for a greater capacity? Last thing is this, is find peace by trusting God. Remember, God told Jeremiah he trusted in the land. Let's take a look at the verse for a second. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 5. If you run with the footmen and they've wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, look at this, in which you trusted. God calls Jeremiah out and says, Jeremiah, you trusted in the land. You did not trust in the Lord. See, those who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, right? They shall run and not grow weary. We know that scripture. Jeremiah, though, here he is, and it says, you didn't trust in the Lord. You trusted in the land. What are you going to do when the floods come? What are you going to do? See, when the landscape around you changes, what's going to happen? When your environment changes, the trial changes. Is that right? One thing to run on dry ground, another thing to run through mud. Anybody listening? That's why the mud run is so popular these days. People out there getting all filthy, dirty, and everything like that. Why? Because it's a different challenge, right? The Ironman race is not a foot race. You got to get on a bicycle and you got to ride. You got to go out there and swim. You got to run. It's a different animal. It's a different beast. So when the environment changes, the trial changes. Running in a peaceful place is very different than running through the floodplain of the Jordan. See, if our trust is in our surrounding circumstances because they're peaceful and cooperative, then what will we do when they're fighting against us and in opposition? See, our trust has to be in God, and our peace must be in Him, in God and God alone. Psalm chapter 9. You want to turn there with me? Turn there with me in the book of Psalms this time. Chapter number 9. And in Psalm 9, I want to read to you two verses. Verse number 9 and verse number 10. Psalm chapter 9, verse number 9 and verse number 10 says this: the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Look at verse number 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Notice that God is a refuge in times of trouble, when the environment around us starts to change. And guys, can I tell you something? The landscape in our United States, the landscape in California, the landscape in Southern California, in our neighborhoods, in this area, in San Bernardino County, wherever you're at from this surrounding region, the landscape is changing. People are changing. As we get older, I see that the baby boomers and that the Generation Xers are looking behind them at the millennials and the Gen Z people behind them. And we're saying, man, the landscape is changing, and it's happening rapidly. And I believe that's coming with the increase of knowledge. I believe that's coming with our modern day. I believe that's coming with a lot of different things. And it's happening right in front of our eyes. We can see in just one generation the values change. We can see how Supreme Court rulings and different laws in our land have changed the way that our society does life. The sexual revolution and different things like that, abortion. And when you start to take a look at even the immigration laws and things that are taking place in our land at this time, these things are changing the way that we do life. But you don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to bite your fingernails. You don't have to fret. Election day is coming, but I got to tell you something. God already elected Jesus Christ as King and Lord over all. He has already elected the church to be His body on the earth. God has already provided a solution. God is the God who tells the end from the beginning. God is the one who knows the landscape. He knows the changes that are taking place. He knows the times and the seasons. He knows the famines and the floods. And our God is a God who will give you the capacity to be able to handle the things that are ahead. Don't find your peace in the United States of America. That may not be here next year. Don't find your peace in California. That may not be here next year. Don't find your peace in the people around you. They may not be here next year. Find your peace, your comfort, your strength, your hope. Put your trust in the living God, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of all. He is your refuge and strength. He is your all in all. And when you trust in man, man will fail you. When you trust in the government gonna fail you. When you trust in money, you know what the Bible says about money? It says it grows wings and flies away. Anybody can say, I felt that right there. Yeah, that's why it's got an eagle on some of the bills. And it grow wings and fly away. Don't put your trust in any of those things. They're gonna be gone. They're not gonna be there. Trust in the living God. Oh my goodness, He is a refuge for all of us. During the 1800s, French General George Mueller Massena, who took orders from Napoleon, arrived at a quaint, military important Austrian town. His 1800 soldiers were gearing up for their invasion, as stunned Austrian citizens were lifeless and terrified, knowing they were about to be beaten, killed, and sold into slavery or worse. They laid down plans for a counterattack. Now, what did they do? It was Easter Sunday, and so because they were looking at an imminent invasion, they decided, you know what? The fight's going to happen, But we need to go to church. It's Easter Sunday. We need to honor the Lord first. And so they just made the decision that they were going to ring the church bells, have the whole town come out to church that morning, and then they were going to face whatever they faced for the rest of the day. Now, when the service ended, the Austrian pastor and prayer warriors opened up the church doors to find out that the entire French battalion had vacated. It turns out that the French general, Massena, incorrectly confused the ringing of the church bells for Easter service with what he thought was the announcement of the arrival of the entire Austrian army. The city was saved, and Christ was glorified through it all. Sometimes when you're facing a battle, sometimes when you're facing a trial, it's only a test. And if you will glorify God, if you will lift him up, if you will trust in him, if you will look to your maker, if you will just run to God with whatever it is that you're going through, that trial, that challenge, that test, then I believe that just like those men and women that rang the bells, that opened the doors, that worshiped the Lord, and that the army fled, I believe that in the same way, you're going to pass a test. You're going to go through the trial. That enemy that's mounted against you, the things that have surrounded you, that they won't weary you, they won't discourage you, you won't back off, you won't quit, but that you will continue on, that God will give you a greater capacity. You'll be faithful in that which is least, and God will put you over much, and your trust and your faith, your hope in him will continue to grow and to flourish. And as you worship the Lord, as you lift him up, that God will send the enemy packing. In fact, I think we ought to do that right now. Can we just lift up our praise to the Lord? Come on, can we lift up a shout and a praise? Can we glorify our God tonight? Hallelujah, Lord. We trust you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. You guys get something from the Word tonight? Come on, give God the praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.